It all starts with a root.
More can you go?
An organism.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A living, breathing feeling.
Bring on to the other side.
A being that comes to life. This living, breathing being is rock and roll. And this is Roots of Rock, podcast edition. Here's your host, Sean Tompkins.
The year is 1958. The day? January 4th. The Russian satellite Sputnik comes crashing to the Earth. 4 days later, Bobby Fischer wins his first major title at the United States Chess Championship. March 24th, the U.S. Army inducts Elvis Presley. The king of rock and roll would temporarily become U.S. Private number 533-10761. June 15th, 1958, Pizza Hut is founded. But on September 22nd, a future rock and roll Hall of Famer is born. Joan Marie Larkin. Some years later, when her parents divorced, she would legally change her last name to Jett. Joan Jett would go on to become one of the greatest rock and rollers of all time. She received her first guitar when she was about 14 years old. She took one lesson but quit after the instructor told her that girls could only sing folk, not rock and roll. She didn't take too kindly to that, and it sort of established her attitude that we all know and love right from the get-go. Joan Jett's family moved around the states during her childhood, from Pennsylvania to Maryland, and eventually settled in California. And it was in California that she really started to come into her own in the rock and roll world. She started hanging out at a place called Rodney Bingenheimer's English Disco. And if you've never heard of that English Disco, it's actually an infamous club from the Sunset Strip in 1970s Los Angeles. That club was the center of the glam rock movement in the States. All sorts of freaky stuff would go on in that place, but it was also the height of rock and roll fashion and music in the mid-70s. David Bowie was a regular at the club. So was Mick Jagger, Iggy Pop, bands like the New York Dolls. It was a mecca for groupies, scenesters, rock and roll musicians, everybody that was a part of that scene. That was the place to be in the mid-70s. Now, when that place was in its heyday, it was one of Joan Jett's favorite places to be, and she was about in her late teens. And as it started to wind down and come to an end in 1975, Joan was connecting with a drummer by the name of Sandy West. They'd met through a mutual connection named Kim Foley, a producer. They started to form a band and sort of went through the inevitable lineup changes that all bands seemed to go through in their early years, and eventually settled on the lineup of Joan Jett on rhythm guitar, Sandy West on drums, the incredible Lita Ford on lead guitar, Sherry Curry on lead vocals, and Jackie Fox on bass. They called themselves the Runaways, and they were a hit. In 1976, they released their debut album called The Runaways.
Stay at home, can't stay in school. Old folks say you're pulling a fool. Stay on the street, I'm the girl next door. I'm the fox you've been waiting for. Hello, daddy. Hello, mom. I'm your Jerry Bob. Hello, world. I'm your wild.
The story goes on that song that it was written on the spot during Sherry Curry's audition. She was told to learn a Susie Quattro song, who we're going to get to later. She did. Trouble was, the rest of the band didn't know the song that she'd learn. So they came up with something on the spot, and the result was their first hit, Cherry Bomb. VH1 named that song the 52nd best hard rock song of all time. The Runaways had started out doing the club circuit around LA, but after the release of their first album, they started touring the world, and they were touring with some really cool bands. They were opening for Cheap Trick, the Ramones, and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, huge bands in the 70s, and a big chunk of the shows they were playing were sold out as a result, and they had skyrocketed to fame after touring with those bands. Joan Jett wrote a song and took over lead vocals on a couple of tracks on their second album, Queens of Noise, in 1977. And one of those songs was called Take It or Leave It. That album, their second, was the last one to feature the original lineup with Sherry Curry singing, for the most part, and Jackie Fox on bass. Shortly after the release of that album, they were booked on a tour of Japan, where they really had their most success. They became the fourth biggest imported music act in Japan at the time, behind only ABBA, Led Zepp, and KISS in terms of album sales and popularity. And they really actually had no idea how big they'd become there until they got off the plane and were immediately mobbed by fans. It was like Beatlemania. They got their own TV special there, did a bunch of TV appearances, and recorded a live album that eventually went gold. The end of the Japanese tour was also the beginning of the end for the band as well. The bass player left before the end of the tour and had to be replaced with Vicky Blue, and Sherry Curry left near the end of 1977. And that was the end of the band, not only the original lineup, but the band altogether. They trudged on for another year or so, but eventually split in 1978. Lita Ford went on to a successful solo career, as we all know, and so did our feature artist for this month, Joan Jett. She went on to found Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, her new band. And back in 1976, Joan had seen a band called the Arrows perform a song called I Love Rock and Roll on TV. She fell in love with the song immediately and made it a part of her set list for the next 7 years. And she actually recorded a version of it with Steve Jones and Paul Cook of the Sex Pistols in 1979. She released that version on Vertigo Records as a B-side to another song, You Don't Own Me. But those were pre-Joan Jett and the Blackheart days. In 1981, she re-recorded the song with the Blackhearts. And that was the version that we all grew to know and love. That song was a number one single on the US Billboard Hot 100 charts for 7 whole weeks. It was ranked as the number 3 song for 1982 and has been certified platinum. Rolling Stone magazine ranked it as number 89 in the list of the 100 greatest guitar songs of all time. And now you may know that Joan Jett formed her own solo career, but that's obvious. What you may not know is that she also went on to become one of the first female recording artists to found her own label. After the breakup of the Runaways, she went to work with a producer, a former member of the Shondells. They were rejected by a staggering 23 record labels. So they did what all good rock and rollers do when everyone tells them no. They start their own label. And it was called Blackheart Records. Blackheart Records has gone on to release 6 of Joan Jett's top 40 hits. Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock, where we start with an artist that we love, and hopefully you love, and trace their history and influences back to the beginnings of rock and roll. On this month's episode, we're doing just that with the queen of rock and roll, Joan Jett. In the early days of the Runaways, her first band, each band member chose a musician that they loved and then modeled themselves after that image and sound. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out who it was that Joan Jett chose to model herself after. Stick around.
You're listening to Roots of Rock, podcast edition.
Hey, welcome back to Roots of Rock. Today, we are featuring the one and only Joan Jett. She really embodies rock and roll. She was a pioneer in her time. She broke down barriers that no one else could really break down in her time. And what I mean by that is that she really had to fight alongside the Runaways to break into the rock and roll world. There weren't really many women or girls in the rock and roll scene at the time. And she did, and still does, really believe in rock and roll. Just watch any interview with her, and you can tell that she loves pure rock and roll, that pure rock and roll sound. A lot of her albums in her solo years are mostly filled with covers, which you know really show how an artist likes to pay homage to the people that influenced them. So it really wasn't hard to discover who her influences were as a result, which kind of made my job easy for this part of the show. I got to pick and choose from a vast array of influences. I found clip after clip and cover after cover that she has done that I could have chosen to demonstrate her influences. And as I mentioned earlier, she toured with Tom Petty. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't. The Ramones. And Kiss. I wanna rock and roll all night. And party every day. I wanna rock and roll all night. So you could easily say that any one of those bands was a huge influence on her, and they were. But I once heard her tell a story about going to England as she described it, as a glam kid, and going to a show where The Clash was playing in this intimate venue. 1,000 people filled with punks, and it had this huge effect on her. And by the time she came back to the States a couple months later, she'd fully embraced the punk aesthetic. Another song that had a profound effect on Joan Jett was I Love Rock and Roll. That song was a cover, and it was written by a guy named Alan Merrill of a band called The Arrows. Alan Merrill from The Arrows played guitar, lead vocals, and wrote the lyrics for that original version of that song. And he said that he wrote it as a knee-jerk reaction to the first time he heard the song by the Rolling Stones, It's Only Rock and Roll, But I Like It. Alan Merrill and The Arrows played that song on a TV show and were offered a contract to play weekly on that TV show as a live band. And that's where Joan Jett saw them and heard the song for the first time. She loved it so much that she recorded it and went on to become the biggest hit of her career. Back when the Runaways first formed, they all decided to model themselves after some of their rock and roll heroes. Sherry Curry chose David Bowie, Lita Ford, a cross between Jeff Beck and Ritchie Blackmore, Sandy West chose Roger Taylor, and Jackie Fox, Gene Simmons of Kiss. Joan Jett, she modeled herself after Suzy Quatro. Suzy Quatro, she's one of those people that was basically born on a stage. She was actually born in Detroit in 1950 and quickly took on the role of bongo player in her dad's jazz band, the Art Quatro Trio. In her early teen years, she started a band with her sisters called the Pleasure Seekers. Susie played bass and quickly moved to become the front person and singer. She would go on to become one of the first female rock and roll stars that was also a bass player. And that band, the Pleasure Seekers, despite being made up of teenagers, actually toured pretty successfully for about 7 years and even released a few singles. Look Susie was spotted by a producer while she was playing in the Pleasure Seekers, and that producer ended up signing her to a solo contract. She hooked up with a couple of songwriters, and together, they wrote her first hit. It was called Can the Can. If you can't hear how Joan Jett and the Runaways picked up where a song like that left off, then you just haven't been paying attention. It's a bare-bones rocker. That chugging guitar, the hand claps, the wailing but smoky voice, glorious stuff. In 1977, Susie Quattro branched out a little bit, spread her wings, so to speak, into acting. Sort of. She played a role that really wasn't much of a stretch for her. And it might be what some people know her best as. She was to play the lead singer of a rock and roll band on Happy Days. And her name? Leather Tuscadero.
Over here, Leather. Oh, there she is now.
Oh, here she is, cool.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Susie Quattro released her debut album in 1973. Since then, she has released 15 studio albums, 10 compilation albums, and one live album, and counting. She still tours to this day, and she's known as the Queen of Glam Rock.
Here I am! I know what I've got, and there ain't nobody gonna take it away from me. So let me tell you what I am. I'm a red hot fox, so I can take the knocks. I'm a hammer from hell, I'm on a candy dad. I'm the wild one. Yes, I'm the wild one.
Susie Quattro has gone on to sell over 50 million records worldwide. She's received awards all over the world, and on October 19th, 2016, she was awarded an honorary doctorate of music from Anglia Ruskin University. She really proved that women could rock just as hard as men, and in today's day and age, it's hard to imagine that anyone would have to even prove something like that, but she really did. She made a career as a performer, songwriter, actor, and a bona fide rock and roller, and she's even on the radio now. On top of all that, she was a barrier breaker and a groundbreaker. Susie Quattro, we salute you. Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and this is Roots of Rock. On this show, we trace the influences of the greatest music ever made, rock and roll. Today, we started with Joan Jett and have wound our way back to Susie Quattro. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out who influenced Susie Quattro. Stick around. It's going to be good.
Roots of Rock with Sean Tompkins. Podcast edition.
We started our show today at Joan Jett and ended our last segment at Susie Quattro. I played a clip of her first band called The Pleasure Seekers. And that band was a direct result of her seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show and going out and forming that band with her friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Oh yeah, I'll tell you something. I think you'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand.
Susie Quattro now hosts a very popular radio show on BBC. A specific segment that she does is one where she profiles some of her heroes from the world of rock and roll. Series 3, Episode 4, she profiled Wanda Jackson. Just about every artist we've talked about on this episode of Roots of Rock has been called the queen of something. Queen of punk, queen of glam, and Wanda Jackson is no exception. She is known as the Queen of Rockabilly. She was born in the late 1930s in Oklahoma City and eventually moved to California. Her daddy was a musician and he gave her her first guitar at 6 years old. She actually won a talent show in high school and the prize? Her own radio show. And it was through that radio show that she gained the exposure she needed to become a star. A guy by the name of Hank Thompson, who was a star in his own right at the time, heard her singing on that show and invited her to play with his band, the Brazos Valley Boys. One thing led to another, and she signed to Decca Records shortly thereafter.
A well-hearted woman, soft-hearted man, been a-causing trouble ever since the world began, oh yeah.
Hard-Headed Woman was originally recorded by Elvis Presley, another of Susy Quatro's influences, coincidentally. But it was written by a guy named Claude Demetrius. But when Wanda Jackson did it, it gave it a whole new perspective. Coming from the woman's side, it really made the song sound like something different. She really was one of the first women of the rock and roll world, and she really belted it out with the best of them. She had some crossover stuff between country and rockabilly, but she really was one of those artists that was there at the beginning when country was starting to meld into rock and roll. And just listen to the energy and passion that she puts into her music. You can feel it. So take a little bit of Beatles, mix their sound with a little Wanda Jackson, shake up the result, fast forward a decade or so, and you get the amazingly talented Susy Quatro. Fast forward another decade, add a bit of punk tinge, some more distorted guitars, and up the tempo a bit, and you end up with Joan Jett, another trailblazer and influencer in her own right. Joan really blew the doors off any barriers that remain for women in rock and roll, and she did it with style, just the way we like it. I'm Sean Tompkins, and you've been listening to Roots of Rock, where we trace the influences of the greatest music ever made. And if you found us here, that means you found us on the Roots of Rock podcast edition. So an extra special thanks for checking it out. We're very excited about doing the podcast. And if you found us on the podcast version off of one of the Rock websites, then I encourage you to go check out iTunes or Google Play or whatever podcast player you'd like to use and subscribe. Make sure you never miss an edition of the podcast version of Roots of Rock. Further, go check us out on Twitter, hit me up on email, interact with me. I want to hear from you, want to hear what you like, I want to hear your cool stories, I want to hear where you're listening from. I was checking out some of the stats the other day, and people are listening all over the world, Brazil, Poland, Russia, the US, Canada. It's really cool. I want to hear from you. Email is rootsofrock@rci.rogers.com or on Twitter, super easy to find us, @rootsofrockst. All right, thanks for hanging out. Rock and roll!